So much for that smooth transition. It's a beautiful song, that sense of peace. And often we have that in the church, don't we? You come here and you expect a sense of peace, hopefully. I mean, we have the crazy time of talking with the donuts and fun with the kids, but when you come in, you hope, at least I hope, that I'll regain that sense of peace that's missing in the rest of the world. And it's so true. The world is chaotic these days. And remember last week I was telling you about the car incident that happened, and I had another one yesterday. I don't know what it is with me. It's like there's this bumper sticker on the back of my car, cause an issue. But it was definitely not peace. So I'm driving down Columbia Avenue. Try and picture it if you know the area. I'm driving down Columbia Avenue towards Columbia. I'm coming up to Centerville Road, just past the Arby's. Good landmark, right? Arby's. Everyone knows where Arby's is, right? So as I'm coming, I'm behind a pickup truck, and there's a big white SUV behind me, and he pulls out and crosses the double yellow line because he's going to make a left at Columbia Avenue. But we're still back before Arby's. So he pulls over the double line, and he gets in the left turn lane for the oncoming traffic, and just heads up that side of the road all the way until he's in the proper left turn lane for the way he's going. And he just zips right by all of us. It was very dangerous. And I saw all the other cars coming the other way, watching what he was doing, this big SUV on the wrong side of the road. So I didn't think that much about it. And I thought, there's another crazy driver. And as we get up to Centerville Road, the light is green, so I can keep going through. But as I said, there was a pickup truck in front of me. The pickup truck stops at the green light next to the SUV to tell him off. Then, from the center lane, he makes a right turn across the right turn lane, because there's a right turn lane, but he stayed in the center lane so he could yell at the guy in the Expedition. So he broke the law so he could yell at somebody who broke the law. And Victoria was with me. Did I keep my cool pretty much? Yeah, not so much. Yeah, I did. But everything that happened stayed in our car, didn't it? Yeah. It's just crazy sometimes. And this guy in the pickup, I mean, he was just irate. Now the Expedition driver shouldn't have done what he did, but this pickup truck driver thought, well, I'm going to break the law now so I can go yell at somebody. And it seems indicative of the world around us. There is so much tension and anger today, and people waiting to be offended, and it's hard. I shouldn't be afraid, because I know it's written down in the Bible already that these times would come. And it's funny, I see people say, well, you know that Bible, it just never, the stuff in there doesn't come true. I'm like, have you read it? Read Revelation and read what's going on now. It's nailed it. It really has. But I got to say, as I don't follow a lot of stuff in the bigger world that much. I have my own world, so I rarely visit this world that often. But I am a little more afraid lately. I'm afraid for the next generation and what they're growing up with and this environment and what it's doing to them. I'm concerned about our world. I'm concerned about the events that it's going on, the polarizing of issues, the hate being thrown around, the lack of tolerance, the rise of being offended. It worries me. I know the Lord will come back and he'll straighten everything out. And for those of us who are in Christ, we have that hope. But in the midst of all this chaos stands the church. The church is a gathering place for believers. It's also a beacon for Christ. And because of those things, it should also be a safe place, which is what we're talking about today. What do I mean by that? A safe place is a place where people can come and be who they are. A place where they can become something more. A place where they can be heard, where they can validate their feelings. A place where they can interact with people who are also on a journey. A place where they won't be judged for what they've been, but encouraged into what they can be. Sounds wonderful, but it can actually be a very tense place to be as we struggle forward. Because we're all struggling forward, we're all making mistakes, and we need to give and accept forgiveness and grace. That's a safe place. A place where you can be imperfect, but still be given room to work towards perfection. A place of acceptance of the person, if not their actions. I have a friend named Rod White. I've mentioned him before. He was the founding pastor of Circle of Hope Church in Philadelphia. And if there's a city that needs hope, it's Philadelphia. And he has started several congregations in some of the hardest areas in Philadelphia. He wrote an interesting article back in 1999, 20 years ago. And if you read it, it sounds like he wrote it for today. And because of that, I'd like to read it to you because Rod moves me with how he writes, and he rings true with my own heart for where the world is. So bear with me while I read his article to you, remembering that this was 20 years ago that he wrote this. And he's talking about Circle of Hope, his church, and all they've been through. He said, "We pride ourselves in being able to talk about our differences and being able to heal conflicts at our church. We believe the process of dialogue results in a conscious, safe place for each of us to be affirmed for who we presently are, while at the same time, each of us is challenged to become more complete as a person in Christ." I believe that. "Such dialogue is deep into the art of love. It is not a foregone conclusion that anyone entering into Christ can engage in it well, right away. Most of us don't have an instinct for it. For instance, when we come to know Jesus, it is hard to get used to the fact that God has loved us without having a negotiation with us about whether or not we deserve to be loved. We find out that he just unilaterally does it. Jesus shows up at the door as the one who loves you. It takes a while to adjust to the fact that knowing God is introducing to all sorts of new data in our lives that challenge old assumptions and reveal new possibilities. Life with God is totally safe. We are saved. At the same time, life with God is challenging because we are incomplete. When we speak the truth in love to one another about our individual journeys with Christ and our life together with Him, these are the two cornerstones of the dialogue. We are safe to have a dialogue, but the dialogue is always challenging. Dialogue feels good, and it feels a little scary at the same time. We sit down at the table with Jesus having a set of assumptions, and they're immediately questioned. Some of our assumptions can be sloughed off like last year's bad fashions that never felt completely comfortable anyway. But a lot of things go very deep. In our country, one of the things that often goes very deep comes directly from the political, social philosophies that run the society. For instance, have you read the Declaration of Independence lately? Here are the big lines that come out of it. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of those they govern." Now, people believe in those lines. In the early days of the country, the church balanced out thinking about securing their rights by calling for self-sacrificing and insisting that everyone was responsible for the common good. That influence has obviously worn away. Today, people come to the government, but come into the church with views that reflect 200 years of rights talks. I think they usually assume three things. The protection of their rights matters more than anything else. The pursuit of happiness, as they define it, is critically important. And equality, which means I have just as much right to be who I am as you do to be who you are, is not to be questioned. When we have had dialogue about certain subjects lately, these assumptions have been brought into the process, and they've stirred up the waters of our safe place. I have realized that as a church, we can't talk about some things without getting dragged into political discussion. It's like the Declaration of Independence gets to judge the validity of Jesus rather than vice versa. Yes, I've always felt the same idea myself. Now, this is me, not Rod, speaking. I think this country was founded on we the people, But 200 years later, we've become me the person. It was about we the people, but now it's about me the person. And I understand individual rights, and I'm all for that. But when we all start thinking about just ourselves, we become very disjointed. In fact, we find more the differences than the things that bring us together. And hence, we have these arguments that polarize everybody, because we're all fighting for our rights instead of the greater good. And he gives some examples here. For instance, if we talk about the music we use for worship, some musicians might say that they cannot play someone else's music because it doesn't resonate with the music they have inside. In some small way, what they're saying is, you're violating my right to play what I want. I have a right to express myself however I choose. Now, the safe place replies, yes, we love you and we want you to express who you are, but this is more than just a safe place for you. There is the love of the others who aren't like you, and perhaps even more important, the challenge of hearing music from God. Likewise, when we talk about the biblical parameters for having sex, some people assume that their pursuit of happiness when it comes to sex is more important than a discussion of any channeling of that drive. We dread a public discussion when someone is forced to make revealing statements, but we have plenty of private discussions in which someone is basically saying, how I express myself sexually is none of your business. I expect you to accept whatever I do as whatever I need to do to be me and find my fulfillment as a person sexually. I think the safe place keeps saying, of course, our sexual orientation and drive is a big issue for all of us. You're safe to struggle in whatever way you struggle, but you're more than your search for sexual fulfillment. God has even more fulfilling things that he wants for you. Thirdly, when we talk about race, as we often do, especially in the Philadelphia area, our discussion can often get cluttered with a bewildering array of political philosophies and options. So-called white people sometimes protest that they feel less equal when we advocate true power sharing among all colors. So-called people of color sometimes lament that the system will never allow them to be truly equal. It often seems like we are saying equality under the law and in your eyes will satisfy me. But I think the safe place replies, our safety comes from being in Christ, not from a perfectly just government. At the same time, both sides in the sin of racism, the dominating and the dominated, must accept the challenge to form a new humanity based on repentance and forgiveness, and on a vision of life lived in the Spirit with a real hope of glory. Now, how can we ever be a circle of hope, pun intended, that's the name of their church, if our dialogue is filled with divisive politics of struggle for individual rights, personal happiness, and political equity? I have been in numerous discussions this year in which I had a terrible feeling that I was going to lose a friend because Christ could not fit into politics of their view and of themselves and what was based on the Declaration of Independence rather than on Jesus. It is too bad that my music or my sexuality or my race can get in the way of our love and our pursuit of fulfillment in Christ. But when we don't live in our safety or accept our challenges, our self-interest is a convenient rock behind which we can hide. We've been discovering that we need new assumptions and new skills in order to have a dialogue and have love become the glue of our church. This is important. Because as I walk around in society, as I look at the news, and I dread looking at the news anymore, but I'm drawn to it, we are in a chaotic, corrupt, and conflicted society. And if there's one thing this society needs, it's love, peace, and safety. Okay, that's three things. But you know what I mean. When you have love, you have peace, and when you have peace, you have safety. And if we can't get that right here, where can we get it right in the world? When people come into New Danville Church, they should feel love, peace, and therefore safety. Do you feel safety when you come into this church? I hope you do. And I don't say that with the assumption that you are, because I don't know. Everyone's experience here is different. I get here about 7:45. I get to the business of getting some things set up. I talk with people. We coordinate things. A lot of folks here are my best friends, and you know, it just works for me, and I do feel safe here. Even when people come to me and say, you know, Robert, your message kind of missed it this week, I'm still safe in that because I know I'm in a place where I'm loved enough that people will tell me the truth about what I'm doing. But for you, I don't know how that works, and you need to question that. Are you feeling safe at New Danville? And if not, is there something we can do to help with that? Or is there something you need to do to help with that? We do have church membership here. Now, I'm not a big person on church membership, and I shouldn't admit that out loud because as a bishop, I'm supposed to push that. So we do have a membership covenant here. We appreciate when you become a member. You don't have to be a member here. It doesn't hold you back from the executive restroom or anything like that. I'm the only one that gets to use that anyway. And when I find out where it is, I will. It doesn't hold you back. What membership does do, it allows you to come and vote at our meetings. Although sometimes at some of our meetings, we let just regular attenders vote as well. But by being a member, it's a covenant. You're saying, yes, this is my family, and I'm going to be a part of it. So we have a membership covenant you can sign. Not everybody's into signing things, and I get that. And if you don't, I don't hold that against you. But here's the funny thing. Whether you sign that covenant or not, if you attend here, I expect you to uphold it. Now you're thinking, what's in the covenant? The neat thing about the membership covenant in New Danville, it's fairly unique. Really, it's just basically Matthew 18. Now, if you don't know Matthew 18, it's all about taking care of one another and knowing how to resolve conflict. Because does the church have conflict? Oh, yeah. Come to one of our meetings sometime. You'll see. No, we're pretty good. But we will have conflict. And that's okay. God didn't say your church can't have conflict. What he said was, make sure you resolve it well. It's about the relationship. So Matthew 18 says this. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. Now, what did that say? Go to that person privately. Why is it sometimes we have an issue with somebody and we go to somebody else? That's like saying, I think my tires need air. I better wash the windshield. It makes no sense, because that's easier to do, right? And that's what happens. It's easier to go complain about somebody than to go address it with them. But we have to make the assumption here at New Danville that most of us are probably mature enough that we can hear it from you. If you have a problem with me, I'm going to try not to be defensive and go, well, that's your problem. Well, it's all because of this, or it's because I hated my mom when I was young. Where's the couch? I'll lay down and tell you about it, right? No, we listen. Because we know we're all fallible. So the first way we resolve conflict here at New Danville is if we have a problem with somebody, we go to them in private and we talk to them. And if they come around, then great, we've won them back, we work through it. No harm, no foul, we move on. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Now, don't think this has to be a courtroom, but maybe you need a mediator. Right? Sometimes in marriages, you need a marriage counselor, because sometimes things have gotten so rough, you don't know how to talk to each other. Actually, usually, you don't know how to listen to each other anymore. And that's what a good counselor helps with. Did you hear what they're saying? They might be wrong about what they're saying, but did you hear what they're saying? Can you validate that they're upset, even if you don't think what they're upset about is worthy of being upset about? You know what I mean? A good counselor does that. So that's what the Bible says. If you can't resolve it, get somebody to go with you, and let's try and work it out. Get a mediator. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to church. Now, that means get somebody from church leadership to sit down and work through it together, see if you can find a way to resolve this, because we are family, and we're accountable to one another, and we're accountable to leadership. So get leadership involved. But you don't start there. Okay, don't come running to me right away because somebody took the mail out of your mailbox out here, sat in your chair because you've got it broken in just right, okay? Work that out together first. But when we follow these steps, you see there's this progression. And all of it is so that we can reconcile. But let's make sure we're doing it well. When we respect each other in our disagreements, we can continue to talk even if we continue to disagree. And that's what I'm finding the world doesn't have right now. When they find out you don't agree with them, now you're a hater, right? Now you're phobic towards them, now whatever. We have to get to a point where we can say we disagree, but let's continue dialogue. And that comes out of a safe place, out of love and respecting one another. So let me give you Galatians 5 real quick. We need to end here, but I want to tell you how Paul said it in another way. He said this: the Holy Spirit produces this kind of love in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. When you're living in the Spirit, those are the kinds of things coming out. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every parts of our lives. All right? Loving one another, trusting, making a safe place. Let's not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. I mean, because we're all vulnerable, right? Share each other's burdens, and this way you'll obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. You got to love Paul, man. He doesn't pull any punches. I can hear him saying that. You're just not that important, friend. Okay? Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you'll get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for each responsible for our own conduct. See what Paul's saying there? It's this idea of respecting one another and building a safe place so that we can move forward. He recognizes there's conflict, but it becomes a safe place when we're gentle with one another. The last example I'll give you and I'll close with is just a classic. You remember the woman caught in adultery? Right? And the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus. So they find this woman caught in adultery and they drag her out in public. They throw her down before Jesus. Now, according to the law, they could stone her to death for committing adultery. I find it interesting they didn't bring the man. They just brought the woman. Society, right? So anyway, they throw her down and they're not there trying to get justice. They're trying to trip up Jesus because Jesus is preaching love. And they want him to say, oh, yeah, stone this woman. And you remember what he says, right? He's like, yep, I think that's a good idea. Whoever of you has never sinned yourselves, you throw the first stone to kill her. Well, they're cut through, right? And they all, one by one, wander off. So all that's left is this crowd watching as Jesus is standing there with the woman. So Jesus stands up, he goes over to her, and he says, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she says, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Do you see the two pieces there? Neither do I. I don't condemn you. That's love. Go and sin no more. That's truth. Love and truth. That creates a safe place. I love you, and I love you enough to help you get to a better place. If we can create that at New Danville, people will feel safe, and this will be a place they want to come to get out of the craziness the rest of the world is selling. Let's be a safe place where people can come as they are, be held gently, especially when they fall, and encourage them to move forward in a closer relationship with Christ. That's our goal. Father, would you bring that sense of peace here? Would you make this a safe place? It's funny that I say that, Lord. I'm asking you to make it a safe place, but you've given us that responsibility to make this safe for people to come and be who they are, to challenge the assumptions of the world, and find a place where they can be loved and not judged, and yet challenged to be more than they currently are. Lord, if we can do that, would you honor us with new faces through our doors, that we might grow more, that more would know your name? We ask it through Christ. Amen.